Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Hello, hello everybody. Welcome and happy new year to 2024. I'm happy to be here and to talk to you and to sit with you today. And it's been a while, really. It seems like a long while. So I had to also reschedule the healing call, and thanks for letting me do that. And it's going to happen, the healing call, next Sunday. You probably already saw the link up. So let's wait until everybody else comes on, and then I are a few things that I had mentioned I could talk about today. There's a lot of things that kind of pop into my head, usually sort of picking up from what goes on and what shows up sort of in the group consciousness. And when everybody's here, I'd like to start with some silence. We have one MP3 in our class today, in our module about Citta Vritti Niroda. And this is the part where we're becoming more conscious of not engaging in thoughts, in the arising of thoughts, which is you as consciousness moving, which is all this movement from the past. And so we're going to just sit in silence, and please excuse my funny voice a little bit. I had a cold or something like that. So you might hear me clearing my throat. And before we sit for a moment, I'd like to speak about immanence, transcendence, and the relationship between the two. Because we have different practices in this wisdom class, and the different practices are addressing these different dynamics within us as consciousness. So if you think of, you know, the great, in the healing group, we brought up the word Tao. You can call it the great Tao, the great source, the great Allah, the great everything, that. When that basically moves and begins to move, creation happens. And that source then exists in this creation, because it is itself, that while at the same time it is also transcendent, and there's always that original point, which we also see on top of the Om symbol. There's a point or a dot which will always remain outside creation. So we have practices that are dealing with the immanent aspect within the universe that's created, where we deal with energy and all these other things. And then there's the transcendent part, the one that's always silent and doesn't move, which is the source of the potential, the origin of everything that exists. When we sit in silence and don't do anything, we really want to get back to that origin of where the universe started, where you started. Because the universe is all around us, but the universe, the entire universe is within you. And we basically want to come to that place where, what is it that started all that? What is that point? And call it the core, and all the different names. And then there's a practice where there is actually a relationship between the transcendental part of God and the immanent part of God. That relationship is where the Sufi practices fall, where the practice of prayerfulness falls, where the practice of any love-directed practice falls, because there's a relationship between those two. And the relationship is about dissolving the difference between the immanent and the transcendental, coming back to realize it's actually just one seamless existence. So I think everybody's here right now. So let's just close our eyes and allow ourselves to not engage in the thought waves. Just drop your shoulders, sit somewhat straight, activating really the core, activating that tree of life within you. allowing breath to come and go naturally. And without using any word, mantra, or zikir or anything, just sensing the interconnectedness of everything, which is the universe, and sensing that it has a beginning. It doesn't really have a beginning in time, but it has the transcendental aspect that never moves. The silence itself, where there's no need to think, to follow a thought. We're not going to produce thoughts right now. And everything that arises as thought or sensation is from the past. You know, just let it walk by like pedestrians on the other side of the road. And enjoying the silence.
Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. All right. So just stay as you are. Stay in that, just what is happening within you. And I thought, as I mentioned on Facebook last week or so, I'll just share a little bit of some of the transformations that I am experiencing. And I'm just doing this because when I learned about certain things from my teachers, they were really helpful over the decades then to suddenly kind of find some understanding or just some point of reference. And it's not something that has to happen, but if it does or you experience something like that, it might make more sense to you. So one of the things is, for those that are maybe not, that are new, is that I am developing all three aspects of my entire being towards liberation, which is, includes the body. And one of the things is that what started to happen is something that, because Jason was seeing these kinds of, this kind of ball, it's like a ball, like a planet kind of circulating around me. It's really interesting. And so we began to see that I'm actually have moved into the center of where the frequencies or the energies of the planets are basically having that effect. Usually we are in relationship with the planets, and the planets disseminate the good karmas and the bad karmas. And we seek to find kind of neutrality with them. But what's going on was that I somehow had moved into the center of it. It's like I am actually now giving command to the planets. So I first didn't even understand what does that really mean. Not that I care about doing anything. But then I began to, this comes always like, you know, that one day this, another day something else. And then I just became aware that I could actually transmit the beneficial powers of each of these planets. And so I was beginning to explore that on myself. And I haven't done that yet on, you know, or shared that with others. I was going to practice a bit more on Jason and get his feedback on it. So that was very interesting because when you really, we always say we have to get past the deity level. All the forces that have effect on us, where we are victim to it. And we grow out of it and become sovereign to it. And so sovereignty, true sovereignty is not just a mental sovereignty of like, oh, you're going to decide what to do in your life. It's way bigger because you're the whole universe. Your whole body is in relationship or in a certain position of reference to all the forces that exist. And so this is a bit of a slow process, and it might not be even something that happens to everybody. I don't really know. It's just nobody's ever talked about it, and I am just experiencing it for myself. The other thing is that we've been observing, and it's been for a while now, for months now, that I seem to be growing new nerves or something. These are fiber, they look like fiber optic tubes that before didn't exist, and I... while at the same time, my aura has a form of plasma that's in there. So as a, you know, coincidence happens, something popped up on in social media about the fourth element of water. And I don't know if maybe you've seen this because water is usually solid as ice. It can be liquid as water and it can be vapor as steam. But there's a fourth element of water, which is gel. I found that very interesting because even the word fourth, so 4D. So it makes me think that in 4D consciousness, or maybe in 5D consciousness, I have not explored that, but I have a sense 4D because I believe that's what's physically happening to me to embody fourth D consciousness, is that we're at the center of things, just like the heart chakra. are in a relationship with everything that's neutral, and it's neither liquid nor solid. It's neither yin or yang, but it's actually a fourth element, which is like a plasma, like a gel. It's kind of a gel-like sense the way my aura moves at times. While at the same time, there are fiber optic tubes, new types of nerves growing and opening up that before didn't exist. And I have to sort of cooperate with it in some way, consciously, becoming aware of it. It is very strange stuff. So anyway, I thought I will share that with you and put it somewhere on the shelf. Maybe this will make some sense or you need it at some point in your life. Maybe it would explain some things at some point, because medicine and how the body heals and what the body does, all this is going to be quite different as our body is changing. Is there something else I wanted to share with you? Maybe just a comment on the Buddhism comment that was in that Adam did the other day in the healing group. And I did mention that Buddha went through many stages of understanding, just like we all do as we evolve. And at the end of his life, on his deathbed, he did actually change his teachings again and basically talked about that there's a God. There is an originator of everything. Now, I can tell you from my direct experience that when the Kundalini basically jumps from the sixth chakra to the seventh and basically permanently stays up and out, that's when I experienced Buddha consciousness. And it literally became where everything just stood still. And even my posture was in lotus and in that kind of state. And I was aware of that. It's more like you are, it's not a thought, but it's like recognition. It's a recognition of something that we mentally knew. And it then basically reflected itself again about, less than months later. It was in 2008, somewhere at the end of March or something, where I experienced it more directly in the sense of not being reflecting of being Buddha, but where I experienced the walls and everything around me basically dissolving. And I do remember everything going really fast. It must have been in seconds. And my, of course, I was being a mother and a parent and responsibilities, all that became suddenly like a dream. I just realized it was all falling away. It was all just like depixelating. It was all dissolving until there was nothing left besides the very last thought before it all stopped was, so God, I came to this last thought of, like, there was nothing else. There was no God, just me, like I was God. And that dissolved as well. And so in my understanding, this was the mental enlightenment, which is really what Buddhism is all about. It's the illumination of the mind, where all dreams are literally dissolved and nothing remains. So, and in that sense, this is why the discussion about there's no soul in Buddhism and all this, so one doesn't get caught up on that. But, you know, from a religious point of view, it can get all very confusing, except when you get to the higher states and experience it directly. I was like, oh, okay, now I understand what they're talking about. But it is what it is. It's all good in the big picture. So, I'd love to hear from you. I haven't talked to you in a long time. If there's anything you want to share or mention regarding Module 5th, anything else where you might be stuck on or have questions or something that arises, we'll do that. And this is Louise here. Hi, Louise. Welcome.
Hi, Adatama. Thank you. I so appreciate when you share your experiences.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm gonna try to make this as concise as possible, so I have some confusion around, I'm gonna say ascension, I don't think enlightenment, but just like the Elohim or whatever they are, or I'll just say the darker forces. And so I guess my I guess I'll start. Maybe this is the best way to start. So, like the Elohim or Satan or whatever we want to call them, they're identified as the ego. So they're not even under the process of enlightenment yet. Is that true?
Let me bigger picture so then you understand. You'll become very clear very quick. We have the yin and the yang, like the one source in order to come into creation, or it causes a duality, right? Especially in this corner of the universe. So you have yin and yang. And one is dark, one is light. So there's a path of light, which is what we're on, and there's a path of darkness, which has to do with more separation and accumulation of power in general. And then there is an adversarial force, and that's coming from outside this particular section of the universe, because God's creation is really, really complex. It's almost like a stimulator. It's like a virus. It comes in to basically it stimulates us to help us make choices, because we have free will. So we have this it helps us to recognize or to become conscious of what is godly within us. So it comes as a form of darkness, you know, that is basically there to deviate. Now, in terms of the Elohim, and I have to say I haven't gone too deep into that, is that the intuitive sense that I get is that they have the ability to use, to let's say create via, DNA practices and all that, and cloning and all that stuff, just like humans can do. But they don't give life. And so in that sense, they are not God themselves, so they're probably falling more into an evil category.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if I do believe that there are aspects of, because God itself split itself into all these different parts. And so like the way we basically can procreate, we give, through us comes life when we have children. So that's pure godly. And so I do think that there are higher beings that are also part of, like Brahma types, the creator gods or many things. But then there is this aspect of the adversarial force. It can only exist or could only exist because we were in this Kali Yuga, in this very dark time. So they are not really part of the ego itself, because the ego is the unconscious part of God that is self-centered, but it's not necessarily destructive. The force that's really destructive, and I already made some MP3s for the next module where I talk about the voices of the fire. These are voices that are meant to burn and destroy us. Like saying people just, they're depressed, they have no hope. Nothing is like, for example, what's the use of living? Or there's, you know, that's a destructive voice. There's nothing godly in it. It takes us into destruction. It goes in a certain direction. And that's an adversarial voice. It's not just the voice of the ego. The ego is general programming that is making sure that we are keeping ourselves separate from others and following our own personal desires. But they're not necessarily really destructive.
Okay, that's very helpful. And then maybe let me ask then about someone, right, who is, let's keep this easy, a human and has a soul, but they're very powerful and they're more focused on darkness and power. So I guess my question there is, right, but they're very powerful. So, but I'm assuming, right, they're still ego-based, so they're not even on the enlightenment path, right?
Yes, they basically are going the path of darkness, which means it's accumulating more egoic power, more sense of separateness. We're going towards unity. They go towards separateness, which is another, it's actually a godly way as well, because God is both dark and light.
I remember you saying that. So so then like when I think about ascension and the different dimensions, right, it seems like or at least to me, this is my assumption, that because they have so much power that they're able to, they're conscious in dimensions like beyond, say, what I can be.
Yes.
Right? So are they awake or not awake?
That's a good question. I never asked it like that. They are awake to their power, and they are quite conscious. Interestingly, I think I talked about this a long time ago. When I saw Mrs. Clinton for the first time, I found it interesting. There's a lot of people that when I looked at them, and it was like in the 90s maybe or something, when I just realized, wait a minute, they got that witness really on. She's totally conscious. Right? And I thought, why are these people so conscious? Do you have to be, like, are they enlightened? I didn't understand that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with them? So they are actually, they call themselves the Illuminati because they have an illumination to how things work. They have an understanding of the powers, and they are not subject to their, they're not like, oh, I'm just going to eat a bag of chips and I can't control myself. Do you see what I'm saying? They are very much in charge. So there is it's a form of illumination for sure, but it's basically a dark illumination. Never really put a word to it.
Okay, now that's really interesting. And I remember, when you were talking about this once, or maybe it was a post or something, and I remember Linda MJ saying when she – Hillary, I don't know if she shook her hand or she just looked at her, and that Hillary recognized her light. Remember that?
That's right. And and I know somebody, and that was Namadeva, when he worked in the government in Washington, there were aliens there. They always had these interesting blue eyes, and they would be telepathically picking up and giving feedback of his thoughts, and they would grin. And sometimes they would just, I remember one guy, he shook his hand, and then Namadeva was just jerking back, almost like it was this huge power coming through. And the guy said, interesting, hey, and smiled. So, what do you do with this power, right? That's the thing. That's why I often speak. When we basically don't dissolve and do shadow work, when we don't really make a constant commitment to going towards the unity and the love, you'll always come to these stations where you have a choice again and again and again, and you get either tested. Are you going to stay on this, or are you going to go the other direction?
Mm-hmm.
And then we basically, that's the story of Lucifer, really. He was this very, very powerful, luminous angel, and he basically, at the end, kind of was arrogant and went on his own. Anyway, so it's good to do shadow work, to constantly just, dissolve that towards love. Really, love is really the key, because, I don't know, I'm making a love package, so I have a lot of this in my mind right now. It's, is that love is really, when you have the yin and the yang, and there is no boundary between them, there's a connection. Love is really the connection between things. When there's a crack between the yin and the yang, then there's a space of true separation. That's when the ego goes in. That's where disease comes in and all that stuff, right? When things take over. And so we need to make sure. That's why love is important. It's not about loving others. It's about realizing we're one unified field. Nothing can creep in.
No, that makes so much sense. And I just had a realization, I don't know, sometime in the last few weeks that, I think I told you, you actually worked on it, having been part, in a past life of the Illuminati, that, a lot of the stuff that I'm going through in this lifetime is to, pound in me, never, ever, give up this path for power or wealth or anything else,
But
In the story time,
exactly. But you never know, right?
Right.
We're talking the satanic path, but there is a dark path.
Yes.
Basically, and sorcerers, some sorcerers do this, and they, when you think of Rama, who also these avatars keep incarnating over and over again for more discovery of consciousness, we don't know. Maybe God wants. Remember the story with these two demons that. the two protectors of Narayana. Narayana is always sleeping, Lord Narayana. Mm-hmm. And people wanted to wake him up, and the two protectors said, no, Narayana, the Lord does not want to be awoken. And they're like, no, you have to wake him up, So anyway, they finally woke up Narayana. Narayana said, well, the law says that you must be punished now because you broke my, you know, what I told you. And they said, do you want to have, you know, millions of years as a beautiful life as a human, or do you want to have two lifetimes as demons? And they're like, oh, well, when I'll be back, I love you so much. Let's be demons for two lifetimes. Right?
And it makes so much sense, right? Like when I think of the yugas, right, I think of it just as a mixture of different amounts of light and darker light.
Right.
You know, kind of playing out in experience. And it's interesting, too, what you were saying with the blue eyes and stuff, because it's it's interesting how much is out there about blue eyes and the Rh negative thing. So it's going to be very interesting to see what comes out with that, too.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting, I'll tell you. I mean, yes. Well, while we have flipped to the light. We are at the light. And there's just a natural effect of the dark to just keep doing themselves, because they can't just only do themselves. But the light has already won. It's been a while now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Wait, can I just add, there's this one more thing just
yes.
Loomering here. So then in our own, right, because it's like really easy for me, right, and this is where things mostly happen, not so much in the like physical or 3D, but just whatever has to happen in terms of integrating and dealing with darkness just happens automatically. But it's just like, it's just interesting when I think about, I guess that's just being aware, or maybe, you know, contemplating that more about the levels of consciousness and actually running into or being more aware of people with those, with that level of consciousness. I don't know, maybe I can't even see it if they're above me because I'm not there, but...
Well, I think it's helpful to know that the people around us are all kind of mixed beings, and we don't expect them to be like us or have the same agenda. But in general, you're always just here, and there will be things happening within you, and you're just relaxed within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But unnaturally, because you're already on that path, evolutionary path, and I think at this point, it will be difficult for you to get off it. You would have to make a real decision to distort yourself and to move all that power that's in your core into one of the channels, either the Ida or the Pingala. And you would notice that if you did that. And why would you want to do that?
No. Thank God. No, thank God. I'm happy to hear that. But no, I just mean in terms of dealing with someone. So that makes a lot of sense. So many times, and it's probably happened to me many times, I'm not conscious of anything in the physical world or that person's level of consciousness, but within me, I know that battle of light and dark is just taking care of itself. Like, I may be totally unaware of what I'm working on with that other person, like, say, meeting Hillary or somebody.
In fact, there is more I can say about that. And there's only one other hand up. This might be really interesting to you. And this is something I asked Jason if you could share that. It's happened a month ago or something. He has very interesting dreams. Like, it's not dreaming. He just does things. Mm-hmm. He goes places and all this. So when he said that he's sometimes so exhausted, he wakes up and he says... So he saw this. Listen to this. He says, he didn't know about the Elohim. I didn't even talk to him about it. And he doesn't really look at all this stuff. And so he says, man, I don't know what the hell's going on. He says, there's all these battles. I says, there's battles, cosmic battles. And believe it or not, I was in these different worlds, and I was in this one world. There was these huge beings. They're like several feet tall, and they have blue skin, and they were all like handcuffed, and they were all marched off by people.
Wow.
And, he says, they're all, but I said, what the hell is this? I said, these are Elohim, right? So I kind of red-pilled him on that discussion right now. And so he says, oh, my God, he says, you have no clue what's happening. He says that we think we're just here. And we're just going about our lives. He says, while we're little movements, the little things we do here, there are actually massive wars going on many worlds right now that we, because we're multidimensional, are engaged in right now. No wonder we have to sleep so much.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm so glad I'm here and have a boring life because I don't want to be there. It's really rough. So it's just kind of, you know, I just say that. And I remember Swat Tantra saying to me, you know, your consciousness that you see in the mirror is just your little toe. The rest is actually, we always say somewhere else. So we're really, really being in a spiritual war of dark and light. We are actively flipping things, and there's real things happening in this grander dream, but it's also really true substance of some sort.
Okay. Wow, no, thank you for sharing that. That's so cool. And I'm sure some days Jason's probably like, Aratama, what are you thinking about now? What are you working at? Ringing in.
Oh, my God. Well, I think it's because it's happening. I think that's why it's in the public right now, these conversations, because the collective is aware of these forces and it's basically has shaken them off. You know, that's, I think, what's coming out.
Oh, that's awful. Well, I'm so happy, too, that I finally got this instant teleseminar to work today. So.
Oh, good. Okay.
My phone. I love you. Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Happy
thank
New
you.
Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you. Okay. Patricia, hi. Happy New Year.
Dima, Happy New Year.
Thank you.
It's funny that you talk about sleeping, because lately, last few weeks, I'm sleeping like 9 hours a night, which I've never done before. Never, ever. So,
yeah, this is pretty normal right now.
Yeah, but that's not what I would like to talk about. Lots and lots of things are happening. Last few weeks, I had the feeling that I was in the witness. But then, because I was constantly seeing myself in a neutral kind of way. But then, after some time, I thought, but is this the witness? Because is it not like that I am seeing myself? And then I got kind of confused.
Yes. Yes, so the witness can be witnessing something, and at some point you give up witnessing something, and then all's left the witness, which is pure awareness. And the pure awareness is not really paying attention, or it's not checking that it's witnessing something. So you got to that place, right?
I don't get it. Sorry.
It's totally normal, and I like that you're going through this because there's a moment where it's almost like we're creating a knot out of ourselves, and then we just realize this is very uncomfortable, and we let it go, and all that's left is just you, the witness. You're just being present. So right now, right here, without even checking inside of yourself, and you're just present. You're just hearing me. You just know you're here. You're present. Your eyes are almost like a little bit softer, like in a gazing state. You're not focusing on anything. You're just here and present. Can you do that?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. So now you're in a place of witnessing. You are conscious. You're not caught in a thought, in a dream, like in a drama, right? There's none of that's going on. You're really alert and here.
Yeah.
That's right. So yeah, that's really called the witness, which is really part of the center of your core that basically rises. You could say you bring the witness higher and higher, and your core extends itself more and more, and your witness will basically embody the center of your heart, the center of your body, and you're just always in that column of light, you could say. That's really all part of that witness. But we start with the witness.
Okay. I think I understand, but I have to let it sink in.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's related. About 6 weeks ago, I had an experience of bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And then all kinds of things started happening. People started talking to me about my past lives and pacts that I had made with the soul that was my mother and all these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel my heart opening more and more. And the consequence of maybe this bliss experience and my heart opening is that I started feeling more and more alone. And today, I thought, is this loneliness or is this homesickness?
Oh, good question. Okay. First of all, any experience you have is still an illusion. So instead of deciding this or that, which is still within duality, let's throw them both out.
Okay.
And just, and then what's left, what's here? You're really detaching yourself from them.
Presence again.
Presence, exactly. Good. And that's what you want. You want to always land back in presence. Presence takes care of itself. It's that transcendental part within you that reorganizes your universe or your body and your consciousness. And so as you're remaining in presence, presence doesn't push things away. So what happens is that old thoughts and patterns will appear in order to be taken home, you could say, integrated into your core.
Yeah, I can feel that.
Yeah. So it's now vigilance. You want to be vigilant right now of any experience you have emotionally or sensation, and just know that if I can give it a word, it's not the ultimate truth.
It is not the
ultimate,
I missed
ultimate truth.
Oh, okay. Ultimate, yes. Okay,
yeah.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
Yeah. So yeah, what you're doing is you are beginning to root yourself as the core itself, which when you stay there for good and don't get tricked anymore, I call it the awakening, to really be awake.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And interesting, it started with a bliss experience, right? So we get a taste a little bit of something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Thanks for sharing.
And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
But the next day I was not like, I want this again.
Okay, you were.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I was not longing to get that again.
Yes, that's good. So you didn't have...
Okay.
That was good because you didn't have an attachment. That means that there was no egoic material that was going to cling to it. You had enough... presence to just let things come and go. That's exactly what I'd like to see, what you want to see. You want to be able to be always here. There's always just this moment. Forget always the second before. It's always just this new moment. And beautiful. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Vainuna here. Hi, Vainuna.
Hi, Aratima. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful conversations today. Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, both with Louise and Patricia. It's always amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out of when you were talking to Louise and that, and then I was wondering about the dark and the light again, right? And I think at some level inside of me, I've been looking at an end to the dark, right? Like looking and thinking, you know, with all, like whatever's going on in the world, there would be an end to the dark. But that isn't true, is it? It feels like there's really no, if there is no separation, I'm just putting thoughts out, please.
Yeah.
But if there is no separation and love is the connection between the two, then when they have to dissolve together, you can't leave one behind.
Yes, they will be working together in 5D consciousness in a way that is mutually beneficial on a higher octave. So the dark that's dark in 3D is not as dark in 5D. You see what I'm saying? But it's needed. The yin and yang is needed. Some people, you know, tell stories like it's always going to be summer in 5D. I'm sorry, that can't be true, just if you understand consciousness. You know, it means that nobody can do Qigong ever again in 5D. You can't even lie down. You can't walk. You can't breathe in and out. It's all duality. That you know, that's just not true. As long as you have a physical body, there's going to be... maybe we need a little less sleep. That's possible because there's more of a... light there that's basically dominating us. But it is part of what makes things move forward. You have a right leg and a left leg. You have a yin and a yang, you know.
And so however that is expressed, that's going to be expressed through every dimension then, like, you know,
yes.
All mm-hmm. the way through. And then, I don't know, I just had this sense that, you know, say, you know, you go up the dimensional, whatever, you go up to the 12th dimension, then it feels almost like, would we then almost like starting over again at a different level?
Yes.
The first dimension? You know what I mean? Like there's
yes.
like a beginning
yes.
again, right?
You are basically exiting this part of the universe, which is 12D is what we consider Christ consciousness. This is where the understanding of love has completely been understood. You don't need the yin-yang anymore to learn about love. Yin yang is there just to learn about love. Once that's understood and you have learned what love is, you then are you're safe, you could say, and to be in other areas of the universe that function very, very differently and don't have
wow.
this kind of density. Yeah. But you know, the higher you go, let's say you have 11D consciousness, you can also fall really, really deeply. So the higher you go, my teacher always said, surf, because I wanted to like go ahead, right? Oh, let's go fast. I did go fast, but he also said, you gotta first, you know, surf the little waves before you surf the big ones. Now I'm surfing pretty big waves, and I know that if you are in let's say you're in 11D consciousness, and you might be more public, you're dealing with a lot of people, you're dealing with circumstances that are very, very challenging because you're dealing with forces around you that are very, very heavier than just, let's say you're dealing with one neighbor or like a kid or your husband, right?
Yeah.
And so the tests get, but you have the power too. You always get given what you can handle, but you need to push yourself. Again, making the decision, are you going to be going the path of unity or are you going to go the path of power and separation? I mean, we need some power. I always say it's vitality, and you need to develop your dantian. Otherwise, you can't shoot up, you know, your energy into the higher octaves. But you don't make it the boss of your life, that energy, you know. Because power, you see, power is a force field, like a tornado. It's destructive. It will actually pull things into you, which means that you become naturally a controlling person. So this is why somebody like me, I have a lot of power. I need to be very careful to come from my heart and to be very, very neutral in some way, which is quite automatic. But if I wanted to be, use my power, I mean, it has shot out at times. I've touched somebody and my neighbor and just people jerk and they start falling, crying suddenly. Or you just mm-hmm. hide behind a pole because it's like some power comes out. It's very destructive, right? So we learn, you know, these forces within us, and we make constant decisions of what is it that I want to do with this? Do I want to stay in love and use it for unification? Or do I want to actually create space around me and make everybody submit themselves to me, you know?
Yeah, so that recommitment to unity and love is like in every second almost. And I would think, like you say, as you gain more power, there's more power in that, but there's also more, you know, I don't know, like Christians would say more temptation, or there's
yes.
more, you know,
yes.
whatever, like stronger temptation too. And then it's easier to fall down and then really crash hard,
yes.
I would think.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And physically burn the netting and the chakras, because the kundalini will have so much force at that point that it burns things in the chakras. And like people that take meth or something, and then to repair that is very, very difficult. And but that's why we meditate daily, or pray, or align ourselves, go into the alignment, you know. It's very important.
Well, the good news is I don't have as far to fall as you.
Yeah, right. How do you know?
Oh, dear. Thank you. And just real quick, I know you probably got other people now. I just wanted to let you know, I had this dream, and I was at a retreat with you and Jason and everybody, and it was beautiful, and it was in person. And it was so different from any other dream I've had around the retreats, because I've had lots of them, where I'm always late and I'm always looking for everyone and I'm always missing the boat. And this one was just being totally immersed in it, and at the end there was just so much joy, and you were just so filled with happiness and joy and love and inviting everyone to stay longer.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, that's great.
Dream retreat.
thank you. There you go.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Anna. Karina. Hi, Karina.
Hi, Ratima. I love that last little bit about the retreat and, yeah, inviting us to stay longer. That sounds amazing, yes. Hang around. Okay. There's a couple of things, but with that comment that I put on Facebook the other day, and noticing the sort of seeking outside of myself, when I did the MP3 meditation practice with the Chitta Vitra, I don't know how to say it. Yes, that one. That actually reminded me of what I had noticed. So that's what I'm noticing, that when I'm that describes how I notice the going out.
Good. So it helped you really realizing that you're actively going out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So that was really.
And then you just don't do that anymore. You just decide.
Yeah, exactly.
Problem solved.
it's good to have that awareness of that's what I was doing, and so I can recognize when I do that more to be able to rein it back in. And and just as a general overall, in the last month really, or probably ever since I did that one-on-one with you, it's I knew it at the time, but I didn't, sort of going back over the last month and sort of seeing where I am now again compared to where I was then, I feel like, for a lack of better words, I feel like I'm coming back home. Like, I feel like I'm back. Mm-hmm. I hadn't realized how much, like, I did, but I didn't. How off the path I had gone, and how distracted and where my attention wasn't.
You know, let me just say something that might help you. Most people that I've worked with over the years, they're in their core and they're very unconscious. And when they step into the core once, it's like, wow, it's amazing. But they're naturally, there's so much tamasity that they're mostly unconscious. Now with you, it's different. You actually have a certain amount of tamasic, like heavy karma there, that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you had the blessing to actually be very easily. You kind of know where the truth is, and you kind of know it. So you got that extreme going on, and I think you think like, wow, I already know, and I've been in this place, and now I keep going out. Why is that? Well, yeah. It's just, you think of it this way, you know, reframe it. The fact is that you're quite lucky that you can actually recognize this, and that you're actually able to be in your core at times for long period of times. Mm-hmm. And so and just know that there's a certain amount of homework you have to do. You're going to be pulled out. You're going mm-hmm. out of habit because mm-hmm. you have identification that's in duality. And you might want to look at that through processing. Like, mm-hmm. what exactly is that? There's different Karinas that live in, that are splintered off, right? That you think you are, and it's very important to live that. But, you know, certain belief systems. And then once they all get smoothed away and integrated, you guys just stay in your core, and then you will live your dharma, which is the truth coming from your divine self coming forward, you know?
Okay. So really making more of an effort to do those shadow processing exercises.
Yeah. I mean, it's really up to you. If you can just do it like as it shows up. It's like, oh, I'm gone again for 3 days. Or you just say, I'm going to sit down and just kind of attack some of these the dreams I have. Who are these people in me? Like, why are they, you know, what are they looking for? And just look at them. You're just realizing, you know, we did one intensive, you would just realize right away, you can see it. You know, sometimes you don't even have to write it down. You can just see it. It's like, wow, why am I even going there, right?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Beautiful. Thank you
very
much.
You're welcome. Hi, Danielle. Happy New Year.
That conversation was really helpful that you just had with Karina, because I had this experience of was chanting Zikr and I had something released. You know, you've spoken to me a couple times at least about a lot of grief that I carry, and I felt like I tapped into something that I couldn't release before. Mm-hmm. And it was able to move out. So it felt significant. And it, at the same time, it like happened yesterday, and I was like, I can't even remember.
That's good.
Like, explain like how it happened or what exactly happened. I just know that I was able to release something, and that it had to do with like a much older, you know, situation that I was in. But you know, I'm anticipating some ripple effects from that. And the earlier conversation with Louise and Jason talking about all this other stuff that's going on other levels got me curious about, like, how when we work with these types of things within ourselves, like, what potential impact, even, like, you know, me just going to release something that seems like maybe small and insignificant. It seems that way because it seems like it has to do with me, but like the potential impact that that could have, you know, I guess in the multidimensional aspect of ourselves.
Well, yeah, it's like when you have a, you know, you have a circle and you put a dot in the middle and you take two lines that kind of come out of that, like a slice of a cake. It's really, really small and significant where it's closer to the dot, but as you go out towards the outside of the circle, it gets really wide, you know, so... It's we have more of an impact than we realize.
Yeah, I appreciate that because that got me thinking a little bit. I was like, oh, you know, because this work, like we're dealing with these issues that seem small and insignificant. I'm like, oh, are these things I shouldn't even be paying attention to, you know, in terms of thinking about the vertical path and just kind of pretty much I'm with being in that quantum state all the time and just kind of not even looking at it, you know?
Mm-mm. Well, you're caught now, like, what is better? Do you see that?
Yeah.
So that's in your mind again. Just drop back into your who you are, just your truth, and then just do what arises from there that's real.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, the mind always wants to create systems, right? There's no system.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's funny because I feel like that's part of what I'm supposed to be doing, like in a work aspect.
Mm.
But it's like then my mind is doing it like I'm doing it where it's not supposed to be done.
Just remember that when you forget, God forgot. When you remember, God remembered. Yeah.
I have no idea.
We can just leave it at that. Okay. Thanks, Danielle.
Thanks.
You're welcome. This is, I wonder if it's Nadia, 3364.
Hello, Nadia.
Hi.
I wanted to talk to you because lately, like over the past 6 weeks or so, I kind of dropped out a little bit out of my daily practice. But on the other hand, life was, there was a lot of movement in my daily life. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like a clearing happening. And towards the end of that, like a week ago, I got really depressed. And I have had trouble with depression almost all my life and a type of loneliness. And since a few days, for the first time in my life, I feel happy. I feel genuinely happy. I mean, I've been happy before, but it's going deeper. And
yeah.
I'm losing the loneliness. I'm losing the depression. But I can't get to myself really anymore. It's like before I used to have a way of finding myself or centering myself. And now I can't get to myself. So I'm restless in a way. It's kind of not peaceful inside. And on the other hand, it's more peaceful than it has ever been, so I don't know.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Let's just sit for a moment, just quietly. Yeah, maybe you're already starting to feel a little different, but when you kind of think of it like a big chunk of ice, when it kind of breaks off, you know, which a depression is like frozen energy, really. And then you got all these different pieces that are individually still melting, so the whole feeling of depression is gone, but in your reference point of being depressed or not is gone. So you have these like energies, old pieces, of that made up that depression are now kind of individually melting. So there's a lot of movement there and also causing light. So in a form of vata. So this will settle at some point.
Okay. Is there anything
you can do?
I can do?
You can just basically, you can do two things. You can work directly with these experiences of not being centered through the heart, or you can stay at the third eye and stay at the Om place and just stay very, very unengaged, just sit in silence, just long sitting in silence. So where you're detaching more and more, and then that will burn up, because when you also sit like that, you're pulling the kundalini up. And it'll burn these fragments faster.
That's actually very helpful. That's the only practice that really got me into very deep space, the Brahma Granthi. But then I'm losing completely the Dihara, the lower Dantian, so I should not worry about the lower Dantian for now.
Don't worry about the whole core. Just work on that the third eye point. And just know pure witness, pure transcendental reality. Because there's no, you see why this is not important right now to stay grounded, because your patterns that are heavy, they're keeping you grounded. That's the thing, you know, you're trying to detach yourself from them.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I wanted to say something else, but let's see if there's enough time. I have a lot of hands up here. Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
I just wanted to touch base with you. I've been having very vivid dreams where I wanted to ask you if it's when we're dreaming or if we're having a time with, like I was clothes shopping with my son yesterday, and it was like something happened earlier in my life, and it just felt like something was pulling back and together, like mm-hmm. if I could say fractals or something where
mm-hmm.
timelines or something are pulling together, if that sounded crazy.
No. Yeah, it can be experienced like that, some completion of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was with what we've been going through, the physical, you know, times we have physical pains or things that are moving out of our body and our bodies.
What's the question?
Question. I before I even got on this call, I just was kind of. I'll just let it go to other people, and then I'll put it together because it's running out of time.
Okay. Good. All right. Thank you, Antonia. Hi, Antonia. Happy New Year.
Hello, Adima. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness, it's so good to be here in this call and to hear your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like I miss it so much.
Good.
Yes. I just want to mention a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about the experiences that you're going through with your body,
mm-hmm.
something came to my mind. I used to be very, very sick when I was seeking for something, for more,
mm-hmm.
and I found you. It was so much going on in the body. But now I don't experience a whole lot in the body, like aches and pains and
that's good.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that. I don't.
That's good, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, part of my job is to help transform and hold the energy for people. So on all levels, not just mentally and on the heart and all, but also physically. But
I know that I am different. Now I am different.
Good.
Than I was before.
Yeah, you made
but
a
I
change.
Don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I have noticed this year, is that I need a lot less. Like I don't need anything. Like I don't want anything.
You mean like physical things, emotional things, mental things?
Even if I have all my family back in Mexico, and they keep asking me, when are you going to come and see us? You can come and see us. We can't go see you. And I don't even have that desire. Like, I don't want to go anywhere. Like, I don't need to go and see them.
Yeah, you know, you're wondering what's going on there. This is quite normal because we're in this place of... many of our family members are living in a 3D consciousness, and they are in a pattern of the way it was traditional, coming together, etc. And now you're meditating for several years now and doing what you're doing, and yes. You're resting more in your core, and you're finding more fulfillment. Now, that doesn't mean that this you know, it's like a day of Brahma. Brahma breathes in and breathes out. The universe created and then we are reabsorbed. It doesn't mean that you're not going to move back out and suddenly you can be very active, but it will come from a place of not needing it. It's going to come more from your core. So you'll just...
Because the thought of going and see them is like it's very heavy. It's like, oh, no, I can't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I love them very much. I mean,
that's the wrong thing to do. I mean, that's good that you can sense that even physically, because then you don't have to worry about it. Or some people still do things that they know they don't want to do, but you can sense that the universe is supporting that. So don't do it. In fact, it's the wrong thing to do then.
Yes. Yeah. Completely. So I said, no, if I want to go on vacation, I'm going to go to Canada. I'll go see it out. And then I get really excited, and then, like, I want to be there now. Going anywhere else where family or even just to go see a beautiful place, for instance, Cancun.
Yeah.
It's a big job for me to go there.
Yeah.
Just on vacation.
I feel the same. And Jason and I talk about it. It's just because
the world is also not the same, right? The energies aren't the same. No. There's just too much unconsciousness. And it's actually physically quite, can be very draining, because we have created a sort of a vortex where we live, you know, that mm-hmm. resonates with us. And then suddenly we go somewhere else. Like, if I go into a hotel, it's like, I remember even back then when I went to San Francisco, it was 10 years ago or something, I can't remember. I couldn't sleep the whole mm-hmm. night in the hotel because there were ghosts there. It was like an old 100-year-old place, and I was just busy, all this energy there. It's like, I don't really need to see that. It's like, no.
I feel like if I go, I'm going to absorb a lot of what they're going through, because it's a lot of poverty and it's a lot of illnesses and a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like
there's lots of time, right? Until you basically are affecting the environment more strongly, without so much discomfort, you know. Well, let's just see. Mm-hmm. Let's see. But anyway, so it's fine what's happening right now.
Okay. I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you. It's good. Jennifer?
Good morning.
Hello.
You know, I was just... like over the holiday myself, I guess it's good fishing. I haven't done a lot to keep myself in my core either. I make sure I go out and do my exercise. But this morning I woke, and before I even say that, I must say that I too have been sleeping so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly thankful for that as well. And there are dreams, but I don't think I remember all of them. But, you know, I woke last night and I went through the practice, you know, the practice prayers and the opening prayer, you know, that you have on the on this last
module.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, oh, my gosh, this morning I woke up, I felt so much lighter and I felt so much better. And it was just like I had released some things that were there that were heavy.
Yeah.
And I'm just thankful that happened, because I didn't realize I had so much that was there that I needed to release. Well, I should have known. I hadn't been faithful in doing my part.
Yeah.
So,
good.
Thanks for that part. And it was also, I just caught a little bit about the love comment. And the part that caught my ear was that part about, it's not that I have to love a certain person, but there's a different kind of love that I need to know about. Because, you know, I get wrapped up in thinking I don't love that person, and that doesn't make me a good person, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm working on a package about, it's called Love and Self-Worth. And I'll just go into all of that. It has really more something to do with a unified field instead of field of separation. So it's mm-hmm. how you hold yourself towards the world around you or certain people, you know. And also, very importantly, is also, let me put it this way, people say, oh, I should love. But love is godly, right? Love is the mm-hmm. divine essence. How can the ego love? So if you want to love, you have to first receive love. Otherwise, how can you love? And the receiving aspect is so problematic, right? And so if you are able to receive, and the Sufi practice is really about receiving, you know, we do the zikr or the prayer, and then it just opens the stream. I can actually literally see it, and then you receive it, and you drink it into, as consciousness, you really take it in. You know, when you put your palms up, you know, and you just really say mm-hmm. whatever you say, and then you just wait. You can see it. You can feel it streaming in. You take it in as much as you can. And then when you have love coming in, you can also love others, you know.
Well, that's good, because, you know, I was sitting in the dark listening to this. I don't turn on the light, and I just had my hands up just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody saw me, they probably would have wondered what in the world I was doing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I felt so much better, and I'm just thankful, and I'm, of course, thankful for the work that you do as well.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, good. Good. Karen?
Oh. Hello. Yes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I had a question about the plasma.
Uh-huh.
I was just Vicki, what a wonderful word, because it, you know, the field, like sometimes I just feel that unshakable stillness, you know, that the form is moving through it, you know, it can be solid, liquid, gas.
Mm.
And I was just thinking, plasma can be sentient, like it can hold that light and sparkles and love that what we would say is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that blank page for the form to move through it. So I guess I wanted to ask you to say a little bit more about that, because it just feels so wonderful when it just kind of drops into my awareness, you know, that I'm not moving. And then, of course, consciousness goes back to being the eye and a body. And, you know, so it just seems like the mind can track and then it doesn't. It just, you know, is quite happy to be still.
Well, I'm not sure what else to say, but the plasma, it does move. It's a thicker material, and my organs and all this are learning to run it with it or something. I honestly don't know much more, except that I'm going through lots of physical transformations and shifts, and nothing feels normal, and or the way it was felt. But I do think because it's water, and water takes on any frequency, bad things can move through plasma as well. So we're still in the 4D consciousness that where you want to choose, you know, to be more illumined than actually darkly illumined. So, yeah. And, yeah, so I don't know. Maybe you can look, if you're more scientifically oriented, this is popping up now in, you know, in the media. You Google it and maybe you'll find some more videos about it, about that whole thing about plasma, you know, how science sees it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just thinking, as this beautiful space of light, as the form changes within it, like that eye that is identified as this body, I guess the question's kind of, it feels like it just happens to be so beautifully still, and yet, like, it's not a choice of the mind. I guess that's kind of like the mind as the co, you know, the part that does think it's here, you know, interfacing with you.
I think I know how you're seeing it. I understand what you're saying. Let me maybe offer something next to it, is that when water is frozen or it's liquid, liquid doesn't really hold form, right? So
right.
In 3D, everything is either real, it's solid, or it's not real, because water runs through your hands. But plasma is different. It's actually like it's a form that's very fluid. So I think it has to do, when you talk about the mind, that when we do quantum healing and we do changes, the body can actually change way faster and then more than before. Before, we always thought we were only solid. Now the body's really changing, and it's more like plasma, the bones, everything, the muscles, everything's more pliable, can change reality and shape according to how we use our mind, because this is really what 4D is, right? Mm-hmm. And the key is to align that with highest intelligence. So the mind is still involved, because it's all there is mind in, you know, in creation, and it's just that it's not as solid anymore, and that's why I think people in general are feeling a little lost, because their world is not as solid anymore, and they don't know that we're magicians. We can actually now shapeshift, you could say. Plasma is more like shapeshifting.
Mm. That is so perfect. That was
that's fun, right? Yes.
Thanks for sharing your experience.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks. All right. Okay. Let's always take a moment at the end to just take a deep breath and take in the light and just breathe out anything you don't need and just come back into yourself, into your own tonality and your own energy signature, while you are in a place of love and coherence, where there is no push-pull, no pushing away, no pulling in, just pure divine neutrality, knowing that everything is good. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Let your peace go to the edges of the universe and then return back to you to settle you. And have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you next Sunday. Okay, bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.